Good morning.
Morning.
Can I just ask for, can I do a little survey? How many people have prayed for somebody to be healed? Okay, put your hands down. How many people, when you have prayed for somebody to be healed, or you have been prayed, have you been healed? Okay, thank you. Put your hands down. Hands up if you have prayed for somebody to be healed, or you have been prayed for and you have not been healed. Okay. This morning I want to talk about healing. I wonder, Dapo, can you see if you can find can you see if you can find the PowerPoint on there? Yeah. Fantastic. I want to talk about healing this morning, but I also want to ask you the question: why do we persist in banging on about healing all the time when it is actually probably a really unsuccessful ministry? Why do we do it? I have prayed for countless people to be prayed for in my life. Countless times people have come up and I've laid hands on them and prayed for them. And you know, the thing is, so many of those people have not been healed. So why do we keep going on and on and on about it? Well, the reality is that although we have prayed for many, many people to be healed and not seen lots of people healed, we have also prayed for people and seen some people healed.
Yeah.
And personally, I stand here as a testimony as for quite a dramatic healing that I probably told many of you about, but had an allergy to fish for for all of my life, and then probably about 10 years ago, dramatically prayed for in a conference and healed. And there is no other way to describe it other than God healed me very dramatically, and it felt like something demonic came out of me, if I'm really honest with you. And now I can eat fish. I still don't like fish because I never ate it. I never ate it all my life when I was a little kid. From when I was about Elliot's age, my mum realized that if I touched fish, I came out of these big wheels and I started bleeding and stuff. So I never did it. So I don't really like it, but I don't have to fear going and getting fish and chips and finding a little bit of fish in the in my packet of chips. I don't have to worry about that. God dramatically healed me. But I have prayed for so many people to be healed. But this morning, I want to just talk about why do we press in to praying for people to be healed? And why do I believe that people are going to be healed this morning? Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to read two passages from Luke chapter 9. We've been going through a sort of like a fairly extended series through Luke that we probably started it about 2 years ago, and we've done other things, and then we come back to it for a little bit, and probably in about 10 years' time, we'll have finished the Gospel of Luke, and we're doing other things in the meantime, but we just come back to it. There's no better place to go to be honest, than the Gospels, to hear what Jesus said and what he did. It's a good place to be if you're ever coming back to it. So we're going to read these two passages about from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 43. The first section, you'll think, what earth has this got to do with healing? I'll tell you. So if you've got your Bibles there, Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up to the mountain to pray. That's Jesus. As Jesus was praying, the appearance of his face was altered and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah. Little bit odd, they died a long time ago. They appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, okay, this is one of the classic moments when you haven't a clue what to do, and you say, let's just do something. Like, Jesus is coming, look busy. It's that type of thing. Okay, I haven't a clue what to do. We're just going to do it. So then Peter said to Jesus, Master, it's good that we're here. I think I haven't a clue what's going on. Let us make three tents, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. And as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And the disciples, they kept silent, and they told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. It's what is that commonly called the Transfiguration, when Jesus, his appearance changed, and then Moses and Elijah came along and stood alongside him and talked to him. Can anybody tell me what is that about? Anybody? This is a genuine question. Why? What was happening? It's not a rhetorical question. I genuinely think, why did that happen? How long have we all been Christian? What's the length of our Christian experience in the room? Why? What happened? Yeah.
Perhaps partly because Jesus isn't just purpose-driven, but relationship-driven. So it was an interesting experience for them to go through. So it was just relationship as well.
Yeah, just building relationship with?
With the disciples.
With the disciples? Yeah. But he could have gone up the mountain and just prayed and had a chat with them. He could have had a meal with them. He didn't have to all change and all go weird. What was it? Yeah.
I think I heard something recently about this. Can't remember where from, but I think they were saying something about like Moses and Elijah had been sort of like the leaders up until that point, and it was a sort of opportunity for God to show, no, this is my son. He's coming to sort of fulfill what they've done. He's coming to now sort of, show you what to do next. Listen to him.
He's good. He's on the money. Yeah. It is, okay, so Moses was the great lawgiver and Elijah was the great representative of the prophets. And what people would say is that this was the moment, if you go back into Luke 9, Herod asked this question. He said, look, I know John the Baptist because I cut his head off, but who is this fellow that's coming along? Who is this guy? And so this transfiguration is answering that question. Who is this Jesus? And actually, Moses, the great lawgiver, Elijah, the great representative of all the prophets, saying, look, everything that went before, it's all leading up to this point, and it's all leading up to this man here. It's coming to this point. And I think there are a few other things that were going on. I think it was a great moment for Jesus to be really reassured. He was just about to go to Jerusalem and face his death. It was really reassuring for Jesus. And I think there was this sense also of God the Father endorsing like Jesus to his disciples as well. Which is all well and good. But why like this? Why this like supernatural thing going on? Well, I think for one reason, all those other reasons are historically valid, theologically very correct. But there's another experiential reason that I think God did it like this. Because he wanted to say, listen, I am a supernatural God. I don't always do it in the way that you're expecting me to do it. I am supernatural. I don't have to be constrained by what I created. What you see is not always what you get with me. Sometimes I will just break through in a completely new and a different way. And if you look through, if you take Luke and you go, you just read through Luke up to Luke chapter 9, there were loads of just these supernatural things that were going on. So there were people who were healed. There was a sort of like a virgin birth. That's quite weird in itself. That's supernatural. There were people being healed all over the place. There was Jesus feeding 5,000 people. There was a storm that Jesus calmed. And I think Jesus is just saying to us again, no, I am a supernatural person. God, our Heavenly Father, is supernatural. So when Pete read that thing this morning about that Chris Vallotton, can you give it to me again, Pete? Pete didn't know that I was going to talk about this, but if we want to talk about healing, we are just always I think there was this massive pressure to say, oh no, Christianity is just really good. We have to understand a correct doctrine. We have to understand things. We have to believe. No, but it is correct. But as well as that, like God is saying, no, I am supernatural. I want to break in. This is what it says. Are you underwhelming God with your prayers? All your notifications are coming through, Pink. Are you underwhelming God with your prayers? Are you praying boring prayers that make God yawn? I don't know if that's true. Anyway, boring believers are an epidemic in the 21st century, yet God specializes in the impossible. Do we believe it? The risky and the radical, things that defy reason, confound the wise, and transcend the laws of nature. Bless me prayers are fine, but it's nation-shifting, bone-raising, mountain-moving, storm-stopping, prophetic declarations that demand faith and move the heart of God. I think the transfiguration was for a number of things, to commend and Jesus, but it was also saying, no, I won't be constrained by what is normal. I want to break through supernaturally. I want to calibrate my thinking so it is more like Jesus' thinking. And I do not want to be afraid to ask Jesus to break the natural order of things. But I don't want to be offended when he doesn't do that, nor do I want to be surprised when he does. But I want to see God, please, would you come and be in your kingdom? Did you know that when the first century, the church grew massively all around the Mediterranean basin? And did you know what? The early church did not grow by really slick worship services. It didn't. It didn't grow by sort of really great worship bands, by great ministries. It didn't grow through sort of, I don't know, people doing all sorts of, it grew through what? It grew through signs and wonders. It grew through signs and wonders. And if you read Romans 15, Paul says, look, I've been all the way around here to Illyricum, all around the sort of like the Mediterranean basin, and I preached what God gave me to preach, and I performed signs and wonders. God is a supernatural God. Yeah. I do not want to be constrained to a Christian faith that denies God is supernatural. Yeah. What I signed up for. Okay, there we go. Should we read the next few verses? Let's read the next few verses that talk a little bit more clearly about healing. Luke 9, verse 37. On the next day, when they came down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. And behold, a man from the crowd cried out, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son, because he's my only child." And behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth and shatters him and will hardly leave him. And I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they couldn't. And Jesus answered, again, not in the most pastorally sensitive way, "Oh, faithless and twisted generation, how long do I have to put up with you? Bring your son here." And while he was coming, the demon threw him to the ground and convulsed him. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the boy and gave him back to his father. And all were astonished at the majesty of God. Now, I think this is a prime, we talked about it the other day, this is a prime candidate for people to believe, oh, it is not God's will to heal this boy. You had all these disciples around, they'd been walking around with Jesus, they'd been sent, they'd been commissioned, Jesus said, no, go out and heal the sick, and they'd gone out and they'd healed the sick, they'd had experience, they'd been walked with Jesus, they're creating a growing reputation for people to be healed, and yet they come to this boy who was really, really well, and they tried to pray, and they couldn't do it. And surely that would be the right time to say, well, do you know what? I think God is teaching that boy something, and it is not God's not God's will to heal that boy at this moment. And Jesus just comes up and says, no, I want to heal this boy right now. How do we pray for healing? Well, I think the first thing to say is this, that there is no formula to praying for healing. It is not a formula. It's walking in friendship with the living God, and it's knowing his favor. If you did a little study, and I did it in probably 10 minutes on Friday, I just went through Luke 1 up to Luke 9, and I just made a note of all the different ways that that Jesus prayed for people to be healed. Trust me, there's no formula. At one point, he stood over somebody and spoke into their life. At one point, he put their hands on somebody. At one point, he just said to the fellow, look, just get up and go home. I think, oh, okay. Oh, wow, I can do it. He just spoke to him and said it. Another point, he said, stretch out your hand. And another point, he just ignored the ill person and he spoke to the crowd. He said, like, if Pete was ill, he just said, like, this man here, he's just about to be healed. Didn't even talk to him. He talked to the crowd. He gave permission at one point for an illness to go. Somebody touched him and they were healed. And in this instance here that we're looking at here, there was an illness that he rebuked. Trust me, there is no formula for how you pray. There is no magic incantation of words that you have to get. And if somebody says, well, if you want to pray for healing, this is, you have to do it like this. You have to say these words and you have to stand like this and you have to have your hands like this. You can't have your hands on them. You just need to be near them because that would be inappropriate. No, that's not right. That is, trust me, that is not right. You can do those things and you can follow the example, but it's not a formula. What it is this, that we walk faithfully with Jesus. Yeah. And when we walk faithfully with Jesus and we long to see him moving in power, guess what? We begin to think more like him. And we begin to think the thoughts of Jesus a little bit more. And we understand God's desire to move in people's life. And so here, I'm going to have, again, here are four things that I just think this is how we can pray for people. And I also just want to let you know that a friend of mine, Phil Moore, who leads the church down in Wimbledon, he has written quite a long paper about healing. And if you want to understand it, it's just really good. It compares the different values of healing, a cessationist view of healing, a Pentecostal view of healing, all sorts of different. If you want to read that, I'll gladly send it on to you. Four ways that we can pray for people. Number one, you just got to love people. You just have to love people. I think when you love people, it releases something of God's miraculous power. In Luke 7, two verses earlier, it says Jesus had compassion on a mum whose boy had died. He felt for her. He just said, oh, I am so sorry. He loved people. He cared for people who were seriously ill, who were grieving, who were struggling with mental illness, who were hurt, who were isolated, who were outcast. He loved people who were poor. He loved people who were rich as well, as long as their riches didn't cause them to be arrogant and self-sufficient. But he loved people, and he cared about them. And as I was praying for this, I just felt God say to me, look, in the first century, I think life was quite brutal. And actually, I suspect a lot more kids died when they were really young. And I suspect in the first century, if you got ill, you were in trouble. You were in trouble because you didn't have this NHS. There were no CT scans. There was nothing. You know, there just weren't all these things around. Okay? And if you got in trouble in the first century, if you got ill, you were in trouble. And those people's greatest need was probably just to be made physically well. And I think that's why Jesus loved to move in physical healings like that. And it just struck me that I suspect that in those days, people were struggled with physical illness, but mentally and emotionally, they were probably a bit healthier. Now, I suspect now it's different. I suspect that now probably physically we're healthier. We live a lot longer. We've got a great health. But you know what? Emotionally and mentally, we're probably not quite so healthy. Now, I believe that Jesus cares and he loves people. And for those people, I suspect that the thing they needed most was physical healing. And I suspect now, because he loves us, the thing that he probably would say, no, I do not. I want to make you emotionally and mentally. I want to make you really well. He still wants to heal us physically. But I think, oh, almost if you say, oh, no, I want to focus on doing that for you. And as I was praying, I just felt today, I started preaching a little bit early so that we got more time at the end to pray. Because I feel that God wants to bring healing today. I think God wants to bring healing. Yeah. You know, if there's anything physical, we want to pray for you. But I feel that if there are people who are fearful, I feel God wants to supernaturally set you free from a prison that the enemy, Satan, wants to put around you. You know, if you're fearful of your parents, if you're fearful of not finding the person, you know, to marry, to spend your life with, if you're fearful of never getting the job that you really want, and I thought, no, God wants to set you free for some fears this morning. Jesus cares about your fears. He cares about your hay fever. He cares about your allergies. And he does it because he loves you. 1 Corinthians 13 says this, that I can have enough, Pete alluded to it this morning, I can have enough faith to move mountains. But do you know what? If I don't love people, what does it amount to? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. To pray for healing requires us to tap into the loving heart of God. I believe that When we love people, it releases miracles. This last Thursday, do you mind if I just say something very briefly about praying for... This last Thursday, 40 people signed up to pray for Dawla throughout the day. There were a few technical issues, but I apologise for that. But 40 people signed up throughout the day to pray for Dawla. Some of us fasted throughout the day. And then we met together in the evening at Tim and Dawla's and we just prayed for Dawla. Now, I am trusting and I'm believing that Jesus is going to heal Dawla of her cancer.
Amen.
I'm believing that. But you know, I just have this sense that I don't know God's heart. But you know, even if God does not heal Dawla of her cancer, I believe that it's important that Dawla knows that she's loved. So actually, when you signed up to say, yeah, I'm going to spend the day praying, actually, I think what you were doing is you were just communicating to somebody like Dawla, oh no, she's loved, and we will do it again, and we'll do it again, and we'll do it again, and again, and again. Because it's about demonstrating love to somebody. That's what we do. Love releases the miraculous amongst us. The next thing I think is this, that I think that we not only need to love people to see miraculous happen, I think we need to love God's glory. And do you know that God the Father is really passionate about his own glory? And he's not in some sort of self-centered, egotistical, oh, look at me way. But do you know what? He does happen to be God. And he really wants people to see him for who he is. He is the maker of all heaven and all earth. And do you know what? Sometimes I feel that I have not prayed for people because I'm more concerned about my reputation than his. And I've held back. But the Christian church has always grown through people willing to make mistakes and willing to look foolish and willing to be told to shut up and go away. But that's how it's always been. That we just say to people, oh, can I pray for you? And sometimes we're allowed to grow in confidence. And sometimes you may be really bold and pray for people out on the street. Or sometimes you may just say to a work colleague, and you may not be able to do it there and then, but you just need to say to them, well, do you know, when I get home, I'm just going to pray for you because I believe that God can be at work in your situation. Yeah. And then the next step is, do you mind if can I pray for you now? And do you know, it's like step by step by step. But there is something about God is glorified when people are healed. God is really glorified. The third thing is this. We have to love God's promises. Just think of somebody that you love and you trust and you have learnt to accept that what they say is true. Okay? Anybody think of that? Okay, just put your hand up when you thought of a person. I just need to know you're engaging. Has everyone thought of that? Okay? So I just want you to imagine now that person says, well, I'll tell you what, we're going to go out for a meal together. I've booked a nice table. I'm going to take you and your friends out. Or they say, do you know what? When I get home, I've got this fantastic present for you. Or they say, do you know what? I don't know. What else would be really nice? No, not a car. I don't know. They just said to you, look, trust me, I've got something really good for you. Now, I would hope that, as long as it's within their control, that if it's that person that you trust, you would hope that they would deliver it. It would be a pretty poor state of affairs if your first response was this. Nah, that ain't never going to happen. They're never going to do that. They said they'd book a table for us to go out for a meal. Nah, they're never going to do it. Nah, it's not going to happen. Imagine if that was your first response. What is our first response when Jesus says to you, go out and pray for the sick and heal them? And then when he says in John 14, verse 12, do you know what? You're going to see even greater miracles than I saw. Nah, ain't going to happen. I'm silly. I just want us to be in a place where we think, my God is trustworthy. I accept the sovereignty of God. I accept that I will pray for people and it is not my responsibility to heal them. But I'm not going to stop praying for people just on the off chance that, oh no, this is the moment that God is going to break in supernaturally and heal something and his name is going to be glorified. Yeah. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to stop. I believe when Jesus said that he's back was whipped, and he's, you know, he's, the flesh was taken out of his back by this whip, and he said, "By my stripes you're healed." I think Jesus' back was whipped so that your backache can be healed. I believe that Jesus' back was whipped so that your hay fever can be dealt with. I believe that Jesus' back was whipped so that your sense of fear, overwhelming fear, can be dealt with this morning. I believe it. I believe that that is what God is saying. By his stripes we're healed. And then the last one is this. Love our Heavenly Father. When the disciples couldn't drive out that evil spirit, and Jesus said, "Oh, okay, look." In the other version, in Mark, it says this. Look, this type can only come out by prayer and fasting. I just say, what Jesus did not mean is this. Look, I know you're praying for this lad, but you had lunch today, so it ain't going to happen. Sorry, idiot. Everybody knows that. Go back, start the day again, don't have lunch, and then we'll see what happens. He's not saying that. What he's saying is this, that this type will only come out with a lifestyle of praying and with a lifestyle of fasting. And when you walk with me day in, day out, and when you begin to understand what I am saying, I'm going to use you to bring healing to many, many people. And so, you know, if you want to pray for people to be healed, can I ask you not to do a few things? Please don't study technique. Don't study a technique. Don't go to a big healing conference and copy the person who's praying for people. Don't do that. Don't learn the words to say. Don't have some magic set of words that you say. But what I can ask you to do is this. Walk faithfully with Jesus every day. Every day, say to him, "Jesus, how are you going to use me to heal people? What is it that you want to hear?" Just walk with Jesus day by day. Be in scripture. Allow the Bible to sort of like to wash over your life. Have a longing every day that God would work through you in healing. And as I thought, I need to step into this more and more and more. It's not just a one-off time to pray for healing and then see what happens. I want God, please come. Every time we would drive, I spent the day with my sisters up in Warwick yesterday, and it was great. And just sometimes in the car, and I'm driving up and saying, "God, who do you want to heal? Who are you going to break into in their life and restore them? Whose fears are you going to deal with tomorrow morning?" And I think I'm learning to try and walk with him every day. That is what Jesus meant when he said, "Look, this can only come out with prayer and fasting." It's a lifestyle of being with him. I think that's where the power breakthrough comes. If you, I'd just like to know, when I said don't go to a conference, and if you want to go and get prayed for at some fantastic, and there are some people who have a real anointing, anything that's, just go and get prayed for. But don't come back and think you have to copy how that person did it. Copy a lifestyle that they have spent in the quiet place, pleading and interceding for God, pleading and crying out that God would come and heal a nation and heal individuals. So, should we just do it? Should we crack on and pray for people and see God come and work in our midst? Okay? So just to recap, one thing. God is supernatural.
Yeah.
He is. He's not constrained by the world he made. Healing isn't about formulas. It's about walking in faithfulness and in the favor of God. Mm. How do we pray for people? We love them. Yeah. We like them. We love God's glory. We love God's promises, and we love to walk day in, day out with our loving Heavenly Father. Is that okay?
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is this. We're going to take communion because I believe that there is something significant. Jesus said, firstly, whenever you get together, take communion. But it's because of this that we have the confidence to pray for healing. So when we were praying for Dawla on Thursday, we were praying the resurrection power over her. So Dawla was Jesus was in a grave, he was dead, he was completely dead, there was nothing alive about him, and then the Spirit of God came on him and he came back to life, and at that moment he broke the power of death. That's what we believe, isn't it? That's what the resurrection is. He broke the power of death, and so we celebrate now Jesus' body and blood broken for us, and that he came and rose again. And when we do this, we're saying, no, God, come on us in resurrection power. And I believe that even now When we come and take communion, some of us will be healed when we take communion, because we'll say for the first time, your resurrection power, O Jesus, is healing me now. Amen? And then what I'd like us to do, it might then get a little bit uncoordinated, but we will finish. Don't worry. We have to look after our kids' workers, and we can't go on until 2 o'clock. So we all probably call it a day, you know, probably in about 15 minutes' time, and then you're free to go and get your kids. But actually, I believe God wants to do some stuff now. So, Manuela, could we have the band back up? So before we take communion, I just want to see any response. Did anyone feel particularly that they wanted to respond to fears, fears about that they fear your parents, that you just think, oh, that's got a little bit of a grip on your life, or you feared something about not getting a job or not having a life partner, somebody to get married to? Did anyone respond to any of that? Okay, there's a few people. Okay. So what we'll do is, I think we'll come down and take communion, and then I just think, why don't we, if you want to be prayed for, just hang around here, and then we'll pray for you. But we're just going to press in, and we're going to worship, and then there's a few other areas that I think God wants to bring healing for. Is that okay? Let's stand, shall we?